Spirit-soaked. I think that's the state we're in when we get immersed in the Holy Spirit. You don't think about marinating in the Word of God. We think about marinating steaks and different things like that. But marinate in God's grace is the only thing that got Jesus through his ordeal that we read in Scripture. And it's the only thing that will get us through when difficulties come our way. The Holy Spirit is healing, and the Holy Spirit is life. The Holy Spirit is soul sustenance, the spring of life that hydrates us and revives us and refreshes us and renews us, even when we are in the worst of time, in the hardest places. You know, it's just funny that this pandemic now is over a year old and things like that, but it's now behind us and we're seeing improvements and we're doing things. So the Holy Spirit will help us and guide us. And at the time our scripture was written, it was written mostly in Greek, because there was a lot of Greeks in Jerusalem among the Jews. So Paul wrote a lot of his stuff in Greek. So we have that to fall back on. But at the time when Jesus was there, he was in a very difficult place. A difficult place probably we find ourselves in sometimes too. He knows what's coming and what he'll need to do to endure. He knows that his ministry and God's plans will only come to fruition if he goes through what he needs to do. He needs to die in order for the world to live. You see, in the context of that message, some Greeks who had gone to Jesus and they come for the Passover, the festival, had come to Peter, or Philip rather, and to see Jesus. But when Andrew and Philip told Jesus, he turned to them and he made a proclamation. And that not only his disciples, but also Greek followers would see and hear. You see, the ministry of the gospel of Christ is for all. It doesn't matter if they're Greek or Jews or whatever. It's for all. So Jesus went on to say, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." He said, "Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." But then he reiterated that in order for God's plan to be complete, he will die, have to die. But, only 11 buts, but then he will be lifted up, resurrected. Then Jesus says loudly, "Father, glorify your name." And a voice answers from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." Jesus notes that his voice is not the answer to him, but speaks to all who are around him, so they can hear this plan for his death and resurrection, and that it's sanctioned by God himself. So Jesus uses the metaphor of a seed to help his followers understand what it means for him to die and to be resurrected. Now, they were agricultural community, most of them, so they would understand about this simple explanation of planting in the ground and growing into life. But a miraculous event that happens within the seed, an event in which God's presence is inherent. Now, I know you didn't come to hear an agricultural lesson on planting and fertilizing and all that kind of thing, but it's all part of how we understand God's kingdom. So what happens to make a dry seed come to life? She's got a bag of seeds that have been dried forever. I asked her the other day, I picked it up. There are a whole bunch in there. I don't know if they're watermelon seeds. I don't know what they are, but they're all dry and dead. And I said, "What are we going to do with these seeds? Well, we're going to plant them sometime. What are they?" "I don't know." Because you can't tell. But most of us, I know, if we go to the store and we buy some of the seeds, and then you know that if you don't plant them, you got to keep them in a cool, dry place, and they'll last a long time. Now, I don't know how long we had those seeds, but I know if you plant it, it'll come up. I planted a dried up grapefruit seed about 2 years ago, and I planted it, and sure enough, it's about that high now. I don't know if it's ever going to come all the way up, but it came up. Nothing will make that seed grow on its own by setting in that bag or up on a shelf. A seed, in this sense, is the fact that merely a dead, dry shell filled with potential. John Riley carries an acorn seed, my evangelist friend. He carries an acorn seed with him everywhere he goes. And he says, you know, why do I carry that acorn seed? Because I know there's 1,000 oak trees in this acorn seed. And it reminds me, preaching the gospel one day at a time, that seed that we don't have to coerce anybody. We just need to plant seeds about God's grace. Because he says, I know that when I'm going about around preaching, that a seed will be planted. And the scripture says that Paul planted, Apollo watered, and God gave the increase. 1,000 oak trees in that little acorn. Well, anyhow, I digress. Like an unfertilized egg that'll never become a chicken, the seed will not become a plant. And yet it contains everything within it to do so. It needs no further fertilization, but it does need something very, very important. Can actually cause change within it. We call it the universal solvent. You know what it is? Water. Water. And I was thinking, too, the hydrological cycle comes into play. Experts say that there's the same amount of water on this planet now as what there was at creation. But the hydrological cycle keeps it God's plan, because the water comes, it evaporates, and it goes up, and it gets into the clouds, and it does all the things, and then it comes down as rain, and then the cycle keeps going over and over. Water is the most important thing in God's creation. And the process of germination occurs when a seed comes into contact with that water. Water activates all the enzymes within that seed, and immediately the shell begins to swell and soften. And the seed's interior begins to hydrate, begins to repair. It gets to doing all the things that it needs to do in order to touch that embryo and that seed and make it grow. You see, as the plant cells become activated, a shoot begins and it starts to grow upward. A plant is born. All it needed was some water. It needed to be immersed in a life-giving water. At that point, environmental factors also help. It helps to place the sprouting seed into the soil where it can be nested in a fine little home, putting down roots, drawing nourishment, and more water from the soil that helps that plant begin to grow. It helps to have a little bit of oxygen. It helps to have some warm temperatures. And when the nurture in this environment, the plant will grow sure and strong. So what's that got to do with the gospel? The miracle is that, in fact, it's the first contact. When water meets those enzymes in the interior of that seed, that dormant, dry seed comes to life. So why did Jesus go to all that explanation and telling the disciples and those around about a kernel being put into the ground? Why did he use the example of a seed? More than ever, Jesus is affirming his identity as God's Son, fully human, but fully divine. Jesus, as a human being, must carry out God's own plan of salvation by dying in this world in order to resurrect into the next. In death, Jesus' spirit will be immersed again in the heavenly realm and will rise again full into the Holy Spirit. We got Palm Sunday coming up. We got Easter Sunday coming up. And then we got Pentecost coming up, when Jesus told him to go and wait. He knew that unless he followed the trajectory of God's mission for him that he was following, he cannot emerge from the human world into the heavenly world, fulfilling God's plan, saving creation. For Jesus is the tree of life. But Jesus not just told his followers this in order for them to understand his own walk, but also for them to understand what is to come for them also. and for us 2,000 plus years later. For in his own resurrection, he will draw people to himself. And it is his Holy Spirit that will immerse in them so that they can grow and change and proclaim God's resurrection miracle to all people, that all who believe that will experience that change of heart and, more importantly, eternal life. A lot of times when I'm talking to somebody on the phone that I never met or don't know for one reason or another, and they might, well, what's your name and address and all that, and inevitably somebody says, I never heard that name Wrightstone before. I said, well, it's kind of a unique name, but there's some of us around, but you know, it's not a common name like Smith or whatever. And always gives me an opportunity to plant a seed. I say, well, my name used to be Les Stone. And then I met Jesus Christ, who is the chief cornerstone. He changed my heart and gave me a new name, and voila, I became the right stone. So it's a seed. It's just a gentle way of knowing that you know that you know there's something much better than this life that we see with these eyes. Eternal life. For every one of us contains God's miraculous potential. Every one of us. Each of us has been created in the image of God. Even though Jesus is the only Son who is God, each of us have been created in the image of God. And when your heart is implanted with the seeds of Jesus, when his Spirit dwells within you, you too will grow, change, live, thrive, both here and beyond. Now, our scripture, not only from John, from Jeremiah, chapter 31 in the lectionary scripture readings today, said this, the Lord says, I will put my heart within them and I will write it on their hearts. That was a prophecy that came true. So the gift of Jesus, God infuses hope for salvation into each and every one of us. For true hope, knowledge, salvation, and life can only come from God in Jesus. Now, we don't know Jesus simply by reading a book. I meant to bring it to him this morning. My granddaughter brought me a book that she found. If it was an old Reader's Digest thing about holy humor. I was gonna bring it and I forgot it. But it's all full of little holy jokes and cartoons and so forth like that. And we'll never know Jesus by writing a book that somebody else wrote. Now, we will know Jesus by the one who authored this book. But we will never know Jesus by reading somebody else's book. We don't get that knowledge. But we will truly know Jesus because we allow him to live out his resurrection life in us. And we allow him to mold us, to change us into beautiful people. People planted in God's garden. You see, back in the Garden of Eden, we sought knowledge of God in outward things. Things we ate. Things that we thought that we could access. But the secret of life was always within us. God gave us the potential to be the kind of humans that we were made to be. For only if we allow God to activate that seed of life within us, that image of God that is in us, will we be able to experience life and have it more abundantly, as Jesus said. So how do we do that? Sounds good. We do that by immersing ourselves in Jesus in the Holy Spirit of life. In the time after the resurrection, Jesus would breathe breath of life upon his disciples. They would become apostles. And then at Pentecost, the world would grow and change because these apostles were activated by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we read in Genesis how God created man out of the dust, and he created him, and it was just a pile of dust shaped like how God wanted it to be, human like we look like, but it was dead until God reached down and blew the ruach, the spirit, into that body of Adam, and it came alive. that resurrection Jesus is also that special gift of the Holy Spirit that germinates miracles. So when we allow the Spirit to surround us, permeate our hearts and fill us and use us, we will too experience that resurrection power, both in this life and in the life to come. So today, we anticipate the most miraculous phenomenon ever to experience anything in the world was the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the reality of our own resurrection to come. Well, whether you get cremated or get buried in the ground, you know, that's just the shell. That's not there. Your spirit, absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's the blessed hope that we have. So in him being Jesus, we realize that life is much more than we ever knew it or ever could be, and that our world is only a fraction of true life being offered to us. As we move into next week, Palm Sunday, and then Holy Week, and then Easter, my prayer for all of us is that your soul be immersed in the power of the Holy Spirit and that you marinate daily into his word. The Holy Spirit will lift you and allow you to be filled with Christ and be able to use you as he can do. He has given us power and the ability to help spread. Even like Johnny Appleseed, the original Johnny Appleseed was Jesus planting seeds, and people come to Christ and experience new life, and their forgiveness of sin comes along with that. So my prayer for all of us is that we would experience the resurrection healing power of the resurrection for now and for all to come.